You are listening to your new puppies podcast, starting you and your dog off on the right paw. Here's your host, Debbie Salento.
Hello, and welcome to episode 93 of Your New Puppies Podcast. I'm Debbie, and today I have a very special conversation for you. I got the opportunity to talk to Brittany of Potential Unleashed Idaho to talk all about dog fitness. So when I say talk all about, I mean she taught me because, you know, we talk about exercise, especially mental exercise, physical exercise, always being important for dogs. But Brittany is going to talk to us all about how to do it correctly, properly, and exactly what and how much exercise our puppies need. So we just touched the tip of the iceberg with this. So this is just kind of to get you familiar with what dog fitness is. And if you want to learn more, you're going to get lots of resources from Brittany to do just that. And as a bonus, at the end, she gives us a little bit of advice for our aging dogs as well. So let's jump right on in and hear what she has to say. So welcome, Brittany. I'm so thrilled to have you here.
Hello. I'm so glad to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. So I'm actually really excited for this because I don't know much about dog fitness. And so I'm going to be learning along with my listeners. But before we get to any of that, what I want to know is, like, what's your story? Like, where did you start? How did you get into dog fitness? Like, give it to me from the beginning.
Yeah. So I grew up in Idaho. That's where I'm still located with my husband and our three dogs. Grew up on a farm, always had the dogs, always was doing stuff with them. So went and got certified in manners. And as I was there, I was chatting with one of the instructors, and she was like, "So we're doing this really cool thing," her and her dog were. And she's like, "I really feel like it would be an interesting thing for you." And I was like, "Okay, what is it?" Right. And she's like, "It's fitness." And I was like, "No, I'm going into dogs, not fitness." And she's like, "No, it's for dogs. It's dog fitness." So I came home, I did my research, and I was like, yes, that is where my passion is at. That's where I want to be educating. I want to be sharing. I want to be doing. So got certified in canine fitness in 2020 and have been learning and growing and sharing the passion ever since.
Awesome. Cool. So what is dog fitness? Give us the lowdown.
Sure. So dog fitness is, how I look at it, is it's strengthening, it's injury prevention, it's body awareness, and it's confidence building, all rolled into one. So you're working the body and the brain.
I love that. I love that, especially like the confidence building, because I work with a lot of fear-based behaviors, and like that's, it's like one of the, it's like, what do you do to build your dog's confidence? Like kids, they go into sports, you know, like this sounds.
Absolutely.
I love that. I love that. So like, so it's sort of like exercise, but it sounds like it's a little bit more specialized. Like I'm sure like anybody who does it, like for me, when I don't know anything, that's the first thing I thought of. I'm like, so is it like physical exercise for dogs? Like what, or it's more, I'm assuming it's a little bit more specialized than that.
So it is a little bit more specialized, and the way I do it is very dog dependent. So how I kind of explain it is it's a detailed workout, right? So you work with a personal trainer at the gym. That's kind of the easiest way to describe how I, as a fitness instructor or fitness trainer for dogs, kind of bridge that gap for people to understand. So depending on the dog, depending on what I'm seeing, depending on what the human wants to do with that dog, the workouts get tailored for that specifically. Now in general, we're working the full body, right? So core is a big focus, because core protects the spine. And if you have a spinal injury or anything, then you're doing reactive instead of proactive work, which is kind of what the fitness part is. It's being proactive. You're preventing the injury. You're building the muscles to support the joints, especially as dogs get older, right? So depending on the breed will depend on when growth plates are closed, right? So everybody with a puppy, depending on the breed, should be aware of their growth plates. Okay. And as more information and as more studies are coming out, they're finding that our large, extra large giant breeds, main or major growth plates don't close until 24 months.
Wow.
That dog is 2 years old before growth plates are completely closed.
Okay.
So repetitive pounding, repetitive motion actually damages the growth plates. And once a growth plate is damaged, just like in us, you can't do anything about it.
Okay. So most people listening have puppies. So we're gonna stay there for a second if you mind. So like when you talk about, I want to get a little bit more specific. I want to talk about like what type of exercise we should do, how much, and like what you mean by like that repetitive. You know, like I don't want my then to be like, oh, I shouldn't be, you know, walking my dog down the street, but like what should we avoid as well? So let's start with like, what type of exercise should these puppies for a younger puppy be getting, and what should we watch out for?
So it depends.
Okay.
Right. It depends on breed, right? Because a Chihuahua is not going to need the same as a lab. Right.
Okay.
So it really depends. However, if we kind of make a blanket statement of, well, I know my dog needs physical activity and I know my dog needs mental activity, and kind of think in that regard, then we look at, okay, what do I enjoy? What does my dog enjoy?
Love it.
Not every dog wants to be traipsed around on a leash around the neighborhood. Right? Culturally, we as humans think that that needs to be done. Mm-hmm. But I have found working and doing fitness, the dogs actually enjoy that way more than being, you know, led around. So when you think of repetitive motion or repetitive on the joints, the easiest example is think of agility, right? So they're jumping over things. That is the repetitive hard pounding.
Okay.
However, if you are walking too much on a hard surface, such as sidewalks, asphalt, you can do the same repetitive damage on long distances. So the rule of thumb, depending on who you ask, is you get to add 5 minutes of physical exercise for every month the dog is alive, right?
Okay.
Again, depending on who you ask, there's variations. There's this and that and the other. So that's the repetitive motion that I kind of have found people understand the easiest is, you know, that jumping up and then that hard landing.
Mm-hmm.
However, you can damage them just by letting them jump up and off of the couch.
Oh boy. Okay.
Yeah. So again, depending on the breed, depending on the age, it's just things that the human needs to be aware of. Obviously, we can't keep and we shouldn't keep our puppies in a bubble. They need to be exploring. They need to be figuring out their body, their mechanics, how to actually, you know, move within the space that they're in. It's just making sure it's not done wrong and over and over to where it might damage.
Okay. So like, you know, jumping off on and off the couch, like once or twice, is not going to do anything. It's just, if this is like an activity they kind of do constantly every day kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And with that, I will put on the caveat of depending on if they do it wrong, I've had, you know, puppies break four limbs by jumping down.
And you know what? That's actually interesting. Like, I mean, is there a balance? Because I also want to talk about what we should do, what we can do, to make sure that our puppies are growing up strong. Because isn't there a balance between allowing them to do certain things so they do build up the strong muscles instead of keeping them in that bubble and then, they don't grow right because of that? Like, is there a balance to it?
Yes. Just like with everything,
I was
right?
going to say, just like everything. Can't be a clear answer, especially with our dogs, because like you said, like they're Chihuahuas, there's Great Danes and everything in between. But like so we understand it's a general thing, but
Yeah. So the biggest thing is, again, making sure those needs have been met, right? So the cool thing with fitness is it works the body and the brain.
Okay.
So if you take, say, let's go a 4-month-old puppy, right? So ideally fully vaccinated, all of those guidelines are kind of, they're a little bit more than just sleeping, eating, right? They're getting to that active, sorry about the squeaking if you can hear that.
Oh, is it a toy? Because I mean,
It
I have a dog squeaking a toy in the background. This is where it can happen.
That's awesome. So 4-month-old puppy, they're starting to figure out how to move. What we want to do is encourage the correct movement. We want to encourage them to figure out how their body mechanics, but we also want to help them do it correctly
Okay.
because it's easier to teach right out of the gate than have to go fix, say, a sloppy fit, right? If we're having them walk, right? Say, just in the backyard, you're walking back and forth. We want to make sure that they're lifting and that they're actually stepping and engaging with each limb instead of, the bunny hops in the back or kind of that floppy, I don't really want to pick my feet up to when they're toe dragging. So things that you can do to kind of help learn your dog's body mechanics, because again, every breed is different. So, I mean, we've got that as well because every breed stands a little bit different. They have a little bit of a different gait. They're used for different jobs. So, therefore, their, shoulders and elbows can be different. The long back dogs. So, if the 4-month-old puppy is out in the backyard and you're really working on, okay, let's work on walking, not running, not being all puppy. You are making sure each limb gets picked up and put down, and that their limbs are in line with their body and aren't out, if that makes sense. So,
Okay.
the easiest way that I help is setting up Cavalettis. So, Cavalettis came from the horse world, and it truly is just a couple poles, right? So, you can take broomsticks, mop sticks, PVC pipe, you're literally setting it on the ground and having your dog walk through them.
Oh, okay.
So that helps them pick up their feet and set it down. And then you, the human, can actually tell where their feet are and if they truly are stepping over. And then with that, you can change the distance between the poles and it actually extends that reach. So we're adjusting and we're making sure that they've got that full range of motion that you were mentioning, right? Because if they're compensating at 4 months, that compensation you're having to undo and fix. So did
Oh,
that
okay.
answer you, did that answer your question, or did that kind of loop you around and go,
No,
"Now I've got more."
it answered my question. It's just now, like, how do we tell if something is wrong? Like, how do we tell if something is like, and we to the point that, like, as a puppy owner, I'm watching my puppy and the movement doesn't look right. Like, and we, like, how do we know and how do we get help? Like, that's the whole thing, is that.
Well, and that's the challenge, because if you go to your vet and you're like, something's off, they're going to say, more than likely, they're going to say, oh, it's a puppy. They're in a growth spur or they're in growing pains or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. So what I always like to tell my people, no matter if you're, you know, an 8 week old and you just brought that puppy home, or, you know, you're an adolescent 3 year old, get a baseline. We have these beautiful things in our pockets that take amazing photos and videos. Get a baseline so that mm-hmm. you can actually watch and see how your dog grows, because that is going to give you more information down the line if something is truly wrong.
Okay. My listeners know I love writing it down.
Yeah.
And writing it down, keeping track. Because you're right, because you keep your head, it doesn't work.
Exactly. Well, and then you have proof, right? As bad as that sounds, to take to your vet and be like, no, look, this has been going on. This hasn't changed. This isn't just a growing pain. There's something else going on.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So other than like the, like watching out for what's wrong or anything like that, what are other, like, what, you know, like what you were saying before, is that like, with, especially with our puppies, too much physical activity isn't good. Like, even if it's done properly, too much isn't good, right? I know that part. And my listeners, my students, everybody knows how much I talk about the mental exercise. So we know that. What I want from you is like, what are some healthy, just every day, we want to get some physical activities for our puppy. Like, are there certain games or like different things that you like to do that are pretty much safe for puppies to do?
So again, depending on the age and the breed, what I like to do is think of like an obstacle course, right? With different surfaces, different textures, different elevations, different stability. And truly just let your puppy go explore and be a puppy. Because then you can actually watch how they move without you really interfering with how their mobility is going. And you're spot on. It's quality over quantity, right? So we want good quality. And as they're learning, as they're more mobile, it's more interesting to watch as they get older, because then they have that muscle memory of, oh, this is how I step over this, or, oh, this is how I do this. The really cool thing is my husband's lab, who just turned 2, we've had since 8 weeks. And so he's kind of been my little guinea pig.
Yeah.
With the fitness at a puppy stage, right? So I've got great video of him just going over like couch cushions. Right. So we set couch cushions or like pillows on the floor, and we let him just kind of wibble wobble over it. And then a couple weeks went by as he was doing this, and then he was more stable. You could see him actually engage, step correctly, so it didn't knock him off. So that is something super simple. The other thing that I love telling people, dog beds. They're unstable surface.
Yeah.
Just let your puppy crawl on that, crawl over it. They're having to engage those muscles. They're having to engage those mechanics. And I'm pretty sure everybody has at least one dog bed in their house.
Just one?
Just one, right?
And I have like 18, but you know, that's for another conversation.
Exactly. But that means that you can do 18 different practices because you've got 18 different surfaces, right? And as we know, the more locations puppies can explore and be exposed to, even if it's in your own house, the better off they are in the long run.
It seems to blend right in with even like the socialization of it, you know, like part of socialization is getting them used to different surfaces and different things like that. So it's like, you know, 2 birds, 1 stone. I love that. So a couple, you know, we've been talking about like a lot of depends on size, breed and everything. So is there like any, like, you know, differences I know even the individual dogs, it can be different. Like how you would treat a small dog, a medium dog versus a large dog. Like what would be the differences that you would see or do or look for or exercises you would do or amount of exercise? All of the above.
All of the above. Well, so we know littles can't eat as much, right? Mm-hmm. So as we're using treats or their meals, they're gonna not be able to do as much anyway, right? So in general, the exercises can be the same across the board. What does change is the height, right? So when we get to actually using equipment, obviously you're not going to put a chihuahua on a step, you know, that it's almost as tall as the dog.
Right.
So just being aware of the equipment, that's probably the biggest thing. And then making sure it is correctly done. Right. And I really emphasize that because I know trainers that do puppy classes, they don't mean harm when they teach a sit, and they don't care if it's floppy or lazy or off to one side. The problem is later down the road, those muscles are formed that way. So then they're weak on that one side. So when you're teaching a sit, ideally it's that nice, tight, you know, square sit. So the hips are in, the knees are in, everything is solid and being used muscle wise, because then they've got the support for those joints, the support for the spine already being practiced.
And I'm just thinking, I mean, how many times a day do we make our dog sit? So that
absolutely.
Okay. So as somebody, you know, as a trainer who is like, yeah, as long as your dog's butt on the floor, I don't care. Give him a treat, like whatever. So,
yep.
So, all right.
I'm guilty. That's how I started.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So let me ask you this. All right. So when, you know, brand new puppy or, you know, or dog that, you know, first time learning sit, I probably will let a lot of things go because, you know, when they're learning things, it's like, you know, you treat in little stages. So maybe the first few times they sit, it isn't like perfect and it is a little floppy. And because right there, you're just trying to teach them butt on the floor. And then
right.
Once they know that, that's when I would go in and be like, all right, let's make sure that we are in the correct, you know, tight position, you know, not like a hip to the side is what I'm imagining, right?
Yep. Yeah, that floppy puppy sit is how I describe it.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Yep, that's exactly what I would
do. So then that's when they would get treated, is when they're in like that proper sit. I'm going to have to go practice that. Because I feel like if he, you know, if they're like naturally going to be floppy, you would have to do like a little bit of a lure into that tighter sit. And that's when they would reward them so they know, okay, this is how I sit, not that way.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the other, I'll say easier way to teach that once they've got butt on ground, mm-hmm. right, is a lot of times the expectation is, oh, you just wherever. So if you're working on that nice form, put them on a platform or put them on something that they actually have to stay on.
Okay.
Right. So if they flop, they're going to fall off. So then they kind of immediately are like, oh, nope, I need to suck it in and keep that form there.
Interesting. Okay. I'm just trying to think of like a DIY, like what do I have in my house that could do that? But
it just has to be as wide as the puppy sit or as wide as they stand, right? So okay. Like a brick, okay. Right? Like a landscaping. Again, we don't need anything crazy. We just need it to be a different surface. So when that leg pops, they're like, oh, hold on. That feels weird.
Okay.
So like a brick, depending on like if you have a 2x4, like it doesn't have to be anything.
I was just thinking that, like a little plank of wood almost.
Yeah.
I like that. All right. What are some misconceptions or pitfalls about dog fitness? Like that you're, you know, people ask you all the time and you're like, no, that's not what it is. That's not what we do. Just in case, you know,
yeah.
if it's common, somebody's thinking it right now.
Absolutely. So one of the biggest things that I hear all of the time is, oh, my dog doesn't need fitness. He's strong enough. Okay. So your definition of strong and my definition of fitness aren't lining up, right? Because you can have a very strong dog. As a matter of fact, one of my dogs is super strong. She tore her cruciate because she didn't have the support for that knee, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I like to, again, kind of go back to how I define fitness, right? It's injury prevention, it's strengthening, it's body mechanics, and, you know, supporting body awareness. So especially puppies, they don't know where their body's at.
Not at all.
So giving them a head start or giving dogs that head start, it's not truly about just making them stronger so they're harder to walk on leash. That's not my goal. That's not the goal of fitness. It truly is supporting the dog. So as they age, you're already a step ahead of somebody not doing the fitness, not doing the support, not teaching the correct body mechanics and motion, and then the compensation down the road. So the other thing fitness is not that I get all of the time is, well, my dog's not hurt. They don't need rehab or PT. That's not what fitness is. Rehab and PT are after there's an injury, after there's a surgery, that then you're building that back up. Fitness is the prevention.
Got it. What made me just think of it, because you were talking about the tear, which has become so common for larger dogs now. Like I've gone through it. I swear, like at least 20% of my clients when I was a pet sitter, like at some point I was helping them at post-surgery. What are some things as a puppy owner of or what is going to be a medium to large breed dog that this is a high risk for? What are some things that they could maybe do to prevent that?
Oof. Well.
did I just open up a whole program? Stuff.
You did. Because the way I look at it is if the muscles and the joints have the support, they're less likely. However, there are breeds that we know right out of the gate that are predisposed to have cruciate issues, to have hip issues, right? So it truly is taking that knowledge and saying, okay, you're a golden retriever. You're known to have knee, hip, elbows. Perfect. Let's strengthen everything around those. So if there's a tear in the future, your recovery is less because you have the support around those joints. So it's not necessarily, again, we got a dog to be a dog, to enjoy life, to experience everything. Continue living, enjoying your dog. Just be aware that the more you are proactive, the less likely something's going to happen. Not to say it's not going to happen, because I mean, one wrong jump, wrong twist, it can blow.
Yeah.
I mean, so, but that's with us too. That's with humans too. It's not just our puppies.
Yeah, that is true. That is very true, especially as we get older.
Exactly.
Okay. So one more thing I want to ask, because you're going to give us lots of resources, right? Because like, I feel like we like, this is like the tip of the iceberg that we just got into. So this might be a little self-serving, but I have an older dog. She's 12 now. She's part German, you know, she's a mixed breed, but definitely has some German Shepherd in her. It's weakness in her back legs. I think it's arthritis and a little bit of deterioration of the muscle in the back legs. So instead of going specifically to my dog, just like in general, like as, because not sometimes you have a puppy and an older dog. So like, and we start to see them slow down a little bit. Like, what is there anything that you typically recommend to help them? Like you were talking about with the pillows with the puppies and putting the sticks out with for the puppies. Like, is there anything for like these older dogs that are slowing down, arthritis, stuff like that?
Yeah. So my old guy, who's between 16 and 18, lab mix. Fitness has been a game changer. Game changer. His confidence has gone through the roof. His mobility is better. And it truly is the same exercises. It's just simplified.
Okay.
Right. So the reason why you're seeing the back muscles go faster is because dogs carry up to 70% of their body weight on their front.
Okay.
Right. So if you think, okay, 30% of that body weight, and how much, like, cause he weighs about 55 pounds.
He's about 60.
Right. So yeah. So I'm no math genius, but 70% of the body weight up on the front, it's no wonder the back end muscles go faster. So something as simple as having your dog put her front feet up on just a step, right? So if you have a step going from the garage to the house, that will probably be about as high as she needs right now. And just have her stand with her front feet up, make sure her back feet are even and the weight is evenly distributed. You're working those back end muscles. You're working her core, you're working her spine, you're working the hips, the inside and the outside, right? So you're giving her more support. Ideally, start with a 5-second hold, right? And work your way up a couple times a day.
I'm writing that down.
Yeah. And again, we're like, it can't be that easy, right? Humans want everything really hard, but it truly can be that easy. And it can be that easy for our puppies too, because then they're having to actually stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And that's what I was thinking. I'm like, she loves her stay. I'm like, she'll do that. And she'll stay there for as long as I ask her to. I'm like, but for a puppy who's learning. Yeah. Especially build up in time. Yep. Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. That's really cool. All right. So if we need more information, because we all do, where should we go? What resources are out there, you know, specifically your resources, if we want to find you, use you, book you, whatever. What do you have? What do you have for us?
Absolutely. So I'm on social, Facebook, Instagram at Potential Unleashed Idaho. And then you can find me potentialunleashedidaho.com. You guys are, I'm telling you first, you're the first ones to know I actually have a virtual fitness course coming out in May, that I can work with anybody in the world. So I'm super excited because I get to tailor everything to that specific dog, but I don't necessarily need to be in front of that dog to help.
That's great.
Like physically there.
That's great. That's
so
awesome. So what, I'm going to link to all of that stuff in the show notes. So, you know, anybody who's, you don't have to write it down. It'll be in the show notes, with links with Ed plus Brittany's, contact information.
And there's also some blogs too on fitness specifically for the puppies and for the older dogs.
And is that on your website, the Potential Unleashed Idaho? Okay.
It is. Idaho.com. Yep.
Yes. And if you're in Idaho, you can go visit you, right?
Exactly. If you're in Idaho, come message me or whatever and we can do a meetup. We'll have the pool up and going here in a couple months as well.
That's so much fun. That's so much fun.
Yeah, that's a whole other fitness resource.
Yeah, no, stuff, I can imagine. Just like for us, like it's a good rehabilitation, strengthening. Okay, we could probably talk about it for hours, and I still wouldn't know everything I need to know. But this has been really, really great. Thank you so much again. All the resources that Brittany shared with us is going to be in the show notes, and thank you for teaching us.
Yes. Thank you for having me. And I look forward to hopefully getting to chat again and maybe dig a little deeper.
That would definitely be awesome. If you have any questions about this episode, send me an email and maybe Brittany and I can set something else up. All right.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Speak to you soon. Oh, that was so much information in such a little bit amount of time. She did such a great job of giving us an introduction to
this whole different world of dog fitness that seems to integrate pretty well with raising our dog in general, from building confidence to socialization to that physical fitness. So again, all the resources she mentioned, I'm going to link to them in the show notes if you want to continue to learn more from her, as I will be doing. And that is all I have for you for now. If you are enjoying this podcast, you can rate and review it wherever you listen, and that helps other puppy owners find the podcast. If you would like to continue training with me, you can join my Your Perfect Puppy course, which is a 4-week course that helps you build the foundation to raise your well-mannered, well-behaved, and well-adjusted dog. It also includes a membership in Playtime Paws Academy, which is where you get direct access to me. I am there every single week answering your training questions and supporting you through your training journey. You can find all the information at playtimepaws.com/puppy. I thank you so much for listening. I'll speak with you soon. Bye for now.